to make, but now there's so much more at stake. Such a beautiful disaster.
Saturday, and welcome to Advanced Living. This is your host, Ken Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be with you again, and so excited. Another week of bringing you something that is going to be a blessing, information that is absolutely so important to making your life better. And, oh, get ready. Today is absolutely blazing hot. You know, I have a commitment. Daily I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can enjoy a global loving community. After all, if we're not feeling very good, we just can't really come out and play. So we got to get to feeling good, and we got to do it fast. For those of you that have heard of things like fatigue, hot flashes, ADHD, ADD, fibromyalgia, PMS, osteoporosis, weight loss problems, sexual dysfunction, anger, migraines. I mean, these are prevalent things. Well, today we have an absolutely miraculous guest. We have Dr. Michael E. Platt, and he is an MD, a board-certified internist. More important, he is a bioidentical hormone expert and the author of the highly prized book, The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones, in which he goes on to say how I lost all of those conditions that I described. Literally, this is breakthrough research. This is on the cutting edge of, to me, what could be a major turnaround in the way medicine is practiced. All we have to do is get a few medical schools to begin to include this and watch the difference in people's lives. Now, this book has been so highly praised. Wellness colleagues, book critics, patients all over the world are just praising this book, especially because it's reader-friendly exploration of how these natural bioidentical hormones can have the power to heal many maladies often considered incurable. Yes, so this is so wonderful. And Barbara Morris, a compounding pharmacist and author of the book Put Old on Hold, she comments, this is the most important health book published this year, or any year for that matter. It is an easy, fascinating, highly informative, even life-changing read. Well, we've just got to go ahead and get Dr. Platt on the line here so that we can find out more about his amazing work. Dr. Platt, welcome.
Well, hi there. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am just honored and excited because of what you've done, opening a door to into a whole significantly important area that, if I'm understanding, this really isn't covered in most people's medical practices. So you've expanded the scope of medicine into a wonderful thing. Now, people are, I'm sure, have heard of hormones or someone being hormonal. Would you help describe what are the natural bioidentical hormones and how are they different from other hormones?
Well, first of all, people have to recognize that hormones control everything in the body. Every system in the body is controlled by hormones. Now, when it comes to bioidentical hormones, these are manufactured, but they manufacture them so that they're the identical hormones that the body produces, so the body can very readily recognize them as their own. And this way, it can affect a lot of different functions in the body. So, you know, people probably first became aware of bioidentical hormones because of Suzanne Somers. And she wrote a book called The Sexy Years and the follow-up book called Ageless. And she talks about bioidentical hormones. And so not only did she make a lot of women aware of them, but she also told people that they had to be proactive about their health. But the only problem is that, I don't agree with her in terms of what she's recommending in terms of hormone replacement because, you know, she talked to doctors that I feel don't really have a good grasp of hormone replacement. But aside from that, this is how people became aware of it. Now, and to follow what you were saying, you know, doctors get no training in hormones at all in medical school, you know, and especially they never hear about natural products because basically everything doctors learn in medical school is based on research done by drug companies, and drug companies cannot patent natural products. So the idea of using natural products is very foreign to doctors, and a lot of them are uncomfortable with it. So we're beginning a phase now where doctors are becoming more aware of bioidentical hormones because their patients, a lot of them are insisting that they get these kind of hormones. But even doctors that do bioidentical hormone replacement, very often, you know, they go to a weekend seminar in Las Vegas, and that doesn't quite do it in terms of, you know, teaching a doctor everything there is to know about bioidentical hormones.
I guess you've been working on this for some time, haven't you?
Well, I got involved with hormones. You know, my mother died when she was 61, and in 1981, and she died of breast cancer. And I realized as she was dying, after she died, that it was strictly a hormone problem. You know, she was on Permanen, which is known to cause breast cancer, and it was shortly after she died that all of a sudden I realized that I had inherited her hormones because men and women had the identical hormones, and you can inherit hormones from either parent. So I realized that I had inherited a hormone called progesterone, and when women do not have enough progesterone is when they get breast cancer. But she also had weight around the middle. You know, she had a large abdomen, but thin arms and legs. And this is classic for insulin production. Insulin is the only thing that puts on fat around the middle. So I knew she was overproducing insulin, and she was also overproducing estrogen. And so I said, well, maybe if the lack of progesterone, which not only caused her to get breast cancer, but also caused her to overproduce insulin. And you know, at that time, when I was seeing patients, I would fall asleep between 3 and 4, you know. And I used to have to slap my face when I was driving, trying to keep my eyes open. Mm. So I realized that I was overproducing insulin. So I said, well, maybe it's because I don't have enough progesterone, like my mother. And I started using progesterone, and all of a sudden, I never got sleepy again.
Wow.
So that's what opened my eyes, probably any year, to hormone therapy.
Huh. I mean, what you just said it would just be amazing. There's, I don't know how many millions upon millions of people, I would guess, 100 million plus, that afternoon or late morning or mid-afternoon, the sugar goes down and they're drifting off. And so typically it's either go get some caffeine or go get some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were just mentioning is that with the wise use of progesterone to balance insulin production, that the person can have sustained energy.
You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, here we're talking about insulin. And insulin is like the number one hormone that creates fat. It's the number one hormone that raises blood pressure, by the way. It is the number one hormone that causes diabetes, and it's the number one hormone that speeds up aging. So it does all these things to the body, and you have progesterone, which lowers insulin levels. So right away you can see the health benefits just from this one bioidentical hormone.
Yes. Wow. Now, I'm just kind of wondering, there's been some people that have had objections to these bioidentical hormones and made mention of things like they're not FDA approved. But could you share a little bit about, you know, safety, study?
You want to know how I respond to that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, one of the objections to bioidentical hormones is that you have to remember where these objections are coming from. You know, the media, and they're trying to track down what the real truth is, they'll go to gynecologists that work in hospital university settings. So they think that they'll be the experts. But remember, you know, doctors never get, you know, they don't get any training in hormones, especially gynecologists, which is surprising. You would think that gynecologists would be the doctors to go to for hormones. But they know less about hormones than just about any doctor there is. And so what they'll say is that, you know, that they're not FDA approved. Well, first of all, these hormones are made by drug companies like Upjohn and Pfizer, and anything made by drug companies has to be under the auspices of the FDA. The FDA is not going to allow them to produce anything that, you know, unless it's with their consent. And the second thing is, you know, they'll also say there are no long-term studies. You know, the interesting thing is, for example, progesterone has been it was manufactured by Upjohn starting in the 1940s.
Wow.
So, you know, here we're talking about something that's been around for, about 67 years. There is actually nothing on the market that has had longer term on the market than these bioidentical hormones. Remember, everything used to be compounded in the old days. This is, you know, they didn't have drug companies. You know, they had the pharmacies that would make up certain preparations.
Okay, so this term compounding pharmacy, I know was new to me and would probably be new to listeners. Can you go off on a sidetrack briefly about that?
Yeah, a compounding pharmacy, it's a regular pharmacy. They do everything that a regular pharmacy does, but they also have pharmacists that are trained in compounding. And so they compound substance like bioidentical hormones, but they can compound just about anything. I like compounding pharmacists because you can tell them what you want and they'll make it up for you. And, you know, compounding pharmacists are regular pharmacies, but they also do bioidentical hormones.
Okay, so they can customize things for a patient's need at the direction of a doctor.
Absolutely.
Ah.
It makes it very easy to practice medicine when you have a relationship with a compounding pharmacy. In essence, the objections that they have to bioidentical hormones are not well represented. It's interesting. You know, when a drug company wants a drug to put on the market, they'll do a study for about 3 years, and then they're looking at hundreds of patients. But when it gets out on the market, now they're dealing with millions of patients, and it's not unusual for a drug that's been out that all of a sudden they see that it has untoward side effects that they weren't aware of. This happened recently with several diabetic drugs, with, you know, showing that it's causing heart attacks and congestive heart failure. So the thing is that here, these medications have been on the market for over 60 years. So they've had a long-term time that they've been around. And in all this time, they have never come up with any adverse type problems with these medications.
Hmm. Wow. Wow, and here you were making mention that like progesterone, 67 years of use, whereas we have some of these new drugs coming out and limited studies, and then bingo, they're on the market, and the population is, in a way, it seems like being a guinea pig. Now, when we think of these hormones and different stuff, tend to think of that for women and women moods, this kind of thing, as if men don't have some of that too. But I'm just wondering, is this only for women that you're doing this?
The actually, when it comes to hormone replacement therapy, it's even more important for men than it is for women. And the reason, and also another thing to keep in mind that, again, men and women have the identical hormones. So as men and women get older, you know, certain hormone levels go down. And a lot of people ascribe the reason why we age is because our hormone levels are going down. So, again, replacement of certain hormones can help balance that out and you know, slow down and sometimes even, to some extent, reverse the aging process. So, but with men, when their levels of hormones go down, you know, they're at risk now for Alzheimer's and coronary artery disease. In fact, almost 100% of men that have heart attacks have a low testosterone level. And, you know, men wind up with prostate cancer, they get osteoporosis just like women do. And when men's levels of hormones go down, they become somewhat depressed. And they lose their joy to be. And so hormones have an incredible influence on our health and the way we are. So with men, it's at least as important, if not important, to get their hormones in balance. But you're right. Most people think of hormone replacement in terms of giving hormones to women. And can I mention something here?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because the irony is that most people think in terms of hormone replacement for women in terms of estrogen. And, you know, I'm not a strong advocate of estrogen. You know, to me, estrogen is actually a toxic hormone. You know, it's known to cause 6 different cancers. It can cause strokes and heart attacks. You know, it's contraindicated in coronary artery disease. You know, estrogen is why women get cramps and PMS, breast tenderness. It causes fibroids and endometriosis and gallbladder disease, and it causes migraine headaches and asthma and lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. You know, to me, it's a toxic hormone. And what protects women from all these downsides of estrogen is the hormone progesterone. But what happens is that when women go through the menopause, they stop making progesterone, but they never stop making estrogen. You know, even if they don't have ovaries, they're still making estrogen from fat cells, the skin cells, the adrenal glands. So estrogen is a hormone that never really has to be, or very rarely has to be replaced. And yet, when people hear about hormone replacement therapy, this is what they think about. I take women off estrogen, you know, because you know, it's a lipogenic hormone. It creates fat around the hips, the thighs, the buttocks, and you won't believe this, but a lot of women don't like that.
Yeah. Really? I thought that was highly prized in some culture somewhere.
Well, looking at the way Americans are, you would think it would be highly prized.
Yes.
But but the thing is, if a woman is on estrogen and she's trying to lose weight, she's going to have a real hard time because it's such a very effective fat-creating hormone that it's hard to lose weight when you're on estrogen. So I'm not a big advocate of estrogen, even though I do use it in certain circumstances. Vaginal dryness, I'll use it. And there you talk about estriol. And estriol is one of the 3 natural hormones that the body produces. It's the only one that's good for dryness, but it's the only one that doesn't cause cancer. So it is a safe hormone to use. In fact, they've used it to treat breast cancer. That's how safe it is.
Wow.
It uses up estrogen receptor sites, so it blocks estradiol, which is the number one cause of breast cancer. The point is, I'm not a strong advocate of estrogen. But yet when people hear about hormone replacement therapy, this is what they think about. But a lot of women, you know, they have problems with hot flashes. You ever hear of that, hot flashes?
Oh, yeah. Menopause, right?
Yeah. What causes hot flashes is a hormone called luteinizing hormone that's put out by the pituitary. And what happens is the pituitary detects that there are certain levels of hormones that are not what they should be. So it sends out this hormone to stimulate the ovaries to make more of these hormones. But in the menopause, or if women have had hysterectomy and had their ovaries removed, you know, obviously there can be no response to this hormone, but it's this hormone that causes the hot flashes. So when you replace certain hormones, this appeases the pituitary, so it stops putting out luteinizing hormones. But there are 4 different hormones put up by the ovaries, and replacement of any one of these can actually alleviate the hot flashes.
Wow.
But again, the most important one is progesterone. That's the number one hormone that alleviates or prevents hot flashes.
Now, I'm hearing about, you mentioned compounding pharmacies, and I don't know if there's, like, creams or capsules or how... when you're recommending hormones, are there different delivery systems? Or?
There are different delivery systems, the problem is there are a number of hormones that when you take them orally, they go straight to the liver. And when they get to the liver, they convert into a different hormone.
Oh.
And the one that you have to be the most careful of is actually progesterone. This is really a hormone that should never be given orally. And yet a lot of doctors, this is how they prescribe it. They put everything into a capsule. So when women take this type of progesterone, they're not really getting progesterone. You know, it's like in the sex years, in the first book, the doctor that Suzanne Somers had, was her guru, if you will, was a very strong advocate of estrogen. In fact, you know, it was her contention that the only way a woman could be healthy is to have periods. So she gave her patients incredibly high levels of estrogen, but never protected them with progesterone. She gave them for 9 days out of the month some oral progesterone, which did absolutely nothing. So needless to say, a lot of her patients got very sick, wound up with cancer, whatever. And, you know, even though Suzanne Somers will now say that this doctor, you can't get an appointment with her, well, that's because she's no longer allowed to see patients. So that was her first guru. And then in the second book, she uses T.S. Wiley. And T.S. Wiley, again, is a very strong advocate of estrogen. And it's her contention that a woman has only one reason for living, and that's to procreate. Mm. And so that she said if the pituitary ever feels that you can't get pregnant, then you'll go into a death spiral. So to avoid this, you have to have incredibly high levels of hormones. So, you know, so these doctors that she's using are very strong advocates of estrogen. And remember, I'm not a strong advocate of estrogen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's, you know, certainly a kind of a fork in the road, so to speak.
okay, a good way of putting it.
Yeah. In different pathways. And it's exciting to, you know, to have you on and sharing the benefits of your many years of practice and to get a little bit of heads up about estrogen and its role and progesterone. Now, I guess you would be saying then that a woman can still have vital, wonderful energy even if she's not past her menstruating years.
Definitely. And the thing is, remember, they never stop making estrogen. You know, nature is a lot smarter than we are. You know, it's been around for a long time. and I think nature accepts the fact that women reach a point in their life that they no longer need to procreate. So it allows the level of estrogen to go down. But remember, women never stop making it. What we have done is that we have taken a very natural condition called the menopause and turned it into a disease that had to be treated. And unfortunately, since PERM was put out in the 1960s, you know, millions of women have died because of this approach. And it always intrigues me. You know, they know that estrogen causes six different cancers. I mean, this is not debatable. And it's on the list of cancer-causing chemicals, okay? Did you know that it's illegal to sell a drug that causes cancer?
Yeah.
And yet estrogen is still on the market.
Huh.
And you know, they put estrogen into chickens and to cattle to fatten them. Did you know that it's illegal to put any kind of a chemical into an animal that's being sold for food distribution that causes cancer?
You know, somehow this is slipping through the cracks?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that knows this.
Huh.
But anything on that list of cancer-causing chemicals cannot be put into an animal, and yet they do this.
Wow. Now, when your website is being built, drplatt.com, and I don't know... If it's something that some of your knowledge, I don't know if you'll ever be including like references to this kind of research, because I know that not only could people come to your website or get your book, Amazon, a number of national bookstores have, and this is The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones by Dr. Michael E. Platt, P-L-A-T-T, M.D., who is practicing in, is it Rancho Mirage?
Rancho Mirage, California.
Yeah.
It's near Palm Springs.
Near Palm Springs, okay. Because I would certainly think that a number of people would like to have that reference.
Well,
maybe there's an opportunity to get some of this stuff. I mean, more people, for instance, are looking for organic meat or organic milk so that they're not getting all of these antibiotics and hormones.
the incidence of breast cancer at the turn of the last century was one in every 94 women, and now it's like one in every 7 women. And you can directly attribute this to our friend estrogen. Mm. And because it's not only in food products, you know, there are certain plastics that that people can absorb. You know, a lot of water is put into bottle, you know, plastic bottle water and stuff like this. Can I say something? It's not a perfect world. But you know, but the thing about the book isn't really about the menopause. It's really about getting people well again. And when people realize how hormones can affect how they feel. You know, and patients tell their own stories, and then I explain, you know, what hormone situation, you know, why they weren't well, and how to get them better. But you know, the first thing is that I take people off medication. You know, prescription drugs are toxic. You know, it's certainly the number one cause of death and morbidity in this country are prescription drugs. But you don't hear this.
And yeah, that is one of the things. There's been efforts in Congress many times to restrict people's ability to get vitamins, and then they'll be citing examples of some people that got ill from taking certain vitamins or herbs, and yet what you're reminding us is that that would be a small, small number compared to how many people become sick or actually killed, die from the negative effects of these drugs.
Well, what's interesting, whenever you hear these negative reports about vitamins, 100% of the time they talk about synthetic vitamins. They not talk about natural vitamins. And the thing is that the body doesn't recognize synthetic substances. But when it comes to natural vitamins, you can't overdose on them. And it can hurt you. You know, the body, if it doesn't need it, will get rid of it. But it won't hurt you.
Uh-huh.
But synthetic chemicals can hurt you because the body doesn't know how to deal with it. You know, they did a vitamin E study, and it was all synthetic vitamins. See, when they do what are called meta-analyses, this is where they look over past studies. And so they can be very selective, and they can pick out which studies they want. So if they eliminate all the studies that use natural vitamins, they're going to wind up with a very skewed delivery system. So so people have to understand that business runs this world, and drug companies are big businesses. And they don't want people taking vitamins, or they don't want a healthy population. Our whole medical system thrives on disease and illness. It doesn't thrive on wellness. And you know, and I understand that. You know, it's a multi-trillion-dollar year industry. It provides jobs for millions of people. And it provides a huge tax revenue for the government. So why would they want to change this? They wouldn't. So people have to understand that whenever they hear anything negative about vitamins, you know, you have to say who's doing the study or who's paying for the study.
Yeah, there you go. And what you said is that there's huge financial implications for both tax revenues for the government as well as a profit for drug companies and then the number of people that are employed. So shifting that healthcare system, there'd be a number of important factors to address.
I'm going to put you in charge here.
Pardon?
I'm going to put you in charge of this.
Okay. Now, you know, I was looking for one more thing to do.
Yeah. to change the healthcare system. That's great.
Well, certainly I'll be doing some to contribute to that. Now, it's amazing. I mean, we've been talking a bit about, women and menopause and stuff, but, you know, the expansive implications of your bioidentical hormone. I mean, diabetes, migraine, headaches, asthma, ADHD, obesity. I mean, just lots of conditions. And you've been doing this for years. And are you able to you know, publish things? I don't know if any of the health of the magazines are willing to, you know, to publish any material about your success. How do we get the word out there?
Well, I'll leave that up to you also.
Okay. All right. Well, I will definitely do things to explore. I mean, my goal, if I can do it, is I'd like to see you on Oprah.
It would be good. Obviously, I love medicine, and it's such a thrill to get somebody to come back and say, "Doc, my entire life I've never felt this good," and I agree. I think that when people understand what bioidentical hormones can do to get people healthy, you know, it'll open up a whole new chapter in healthcare. And so, it would be nice if, if some magazines picked up on this. But I think that'll happen. Because, you know, I know that somewhere down the line, it may be 15, 20, 30 years from now, what I'm doing now will be the standard of medical practice. And it won't be because doctors will be embracing with open arms. It's because their patients will be demanding it.
Ah.
You know, the consumer doesn't realize, the patient doesn't realize how strong they are. And they're becoming a lot more aware now and proactive in terms of their health. And I think they're beginning to realize that drugs aren't the only answer. In the book, I have a chapter about ADHD, and it's a very important part of my practice because at least 80% of my patients have what's called ADHD. This is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and it's probably the most unrecognized medical condition there is. And the unfortunately, I'm not anti-doctor, just that. And a lot of times doctors don't realize, you know, why people are not well. So they have designated ADHD and ADD as learning disorders, and this is how it's been branded. But people don't realize that people with ADD and ADHD are actually the most intelligent people there are. And they have no trouble focusing on things that they're interested in, but they will not focus on anything that they're not interested in. So it's not a learning disorder, it's an interest disorder.
Ah.
But these people are extremely intelligent because what ADHD is all about is adrenaline. And adrenaline is the neurotransmitter that actually gives us intelligence. So the more adrenaline you have in the brain, the more intelligent you are. And, you know, to me, the ultimate form of this is probably autism. And by the way, we have an epidemic now of autism. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, yes.
And the thing is that to me, these kids are so overloaded with adrenaline that they're on what's called a sensory overload. In other words, the littlest stimuli will bother them, so they sort of shy away. But these kids are extremely intelligent. You know, these are the ones that can memorize a phone book, and they crave sugar all the time. So which means they're hypoglycemic. They have low blood sugars. And when you're dealing with ADHD, what you're dealing with is adrenaline. And adrenaline is the hormone that the body uses to bring sugar levels back up. So when you have a lot of low blood sugars, you're going to have a lot of adrenaline.
Mm.
So again, with ADHD, they call adrenaline, by the way, the fight or flight hormone.
And it
makes people angry. You know, so they're a little bit quick fused. They've got short fuses. People that get road rage. This is classic ADHD. Then they wind up in anger management class. And they're surrounded by everybody else in the class that has ADHD. And people that get into drugs and alcohol, again, they self-medicate because to get rid of the anger from the adrenaline. So anytime you hear about kids that get involved in drugs and alcohol, it's always ADHD. And the people that wind up in prison, 95% of them are ADHD. And then you have the prison guards who go, you know, anybody who goes into law enforcement is ADHD. They have so much adrenaline, you know, they want to fight. And people going to the military are all ADHD. And when you hear about people in Iraq, you know, where the Marines will shoot an innocent civilians, it's because they're in a rage because their buddy just got blown up by a roadside bomb. Now everybody's the enemy, so they don't make any distinction. Now they're ready to kill. So anytime you hear about a rage, this is adrenaline, and this is all ADHD. You see it in a lot of our Hollywood movie stars. Michael Richards, who went to a rage up on stage a few months ago.
Okay.
Cost him his career. And then you have Alec Baldwin, they recorded, you know, his telephone conversations with daughter. He was yelling and screaming at it. This is all adrenaline. This is all ADHD. Tom Cruise admits he's ADHD. Mel Gibson. Your friend O.J. Simpson is classic ADHD. So every professional athlete... the CEOs of every major corporation are probably ADHD. You take somebody like Bill Gates, who's done pretty well.
Yes.
He never finished college, by the way. But if you ever watch him being interviewed, he's moving all the time. He's got a lot of adrenaline. So the thing about ADHD is not bad to have it, you know, because you can be very successful, because this is what makes people into type A personalities, workaholics. They can work 14-hour days, become very successful. So So it's not bad if ADHD because you're intelligent, successful, but when you have too much adrenaline, then it affects your health. So these are the people that get bipolar disorders. And you may have heard of people with what's called restless leg syndrome, which is
yeah.
This is all adrenaline. And the interesting thing is that you take a condition where you have all this adrenaline, you can get rid of it in 24 hours. That's all it takes to get these people better again when you
wow.
get the hormones back in balance.
Now, one of the things that comes up is here's someone that uses this condition to, let's say, run a large business or something where they're functional in this. If we reduce the adrenaline levels, are they still going to be able to be as effective?
Actually, they become more effective. And the reason for that is that, remember, these people have a lot of adrenaline.
Yeah.
And people with ADD and ADHD, they have trouble focusing. Their mind is going so fast. You know, they think about this, they're over there, and they forget about that. Once you take away part of their adrenaline, now they can focus even better. So they become even more good at what they do. I've never had one person that I've gotten, gotten rid of their ADHD that deteriorated in terms of their functioning.
And now, is it as simple? I mean, you'd made mention that with the excessive estrogen, we could use some progesterone and balance that out.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the progesterone to balance some excess insulin. What approach are you finding successful for handling this adrenaline?
Well, again, remember what they're doing is that they're overproducing insulin. And so what happens is that when their insulin levels go up, the blood sugar drops. That's when people get sleepy, like between 3 and 4 and when they're driving or after eating. These are the classic times that insulin levels go up and the classic times that people get sleepy. So they call that hypoglycemia. It's a low blood sugar.
Yeah.
But the other term for that is attention deficit disorder, ADD. And in those circumstances where the body puts out adrenaline to bring the sugar level back up, what that does, that converts ADD into ADHD, which is the hyperactivity part.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you can control their insulin, you can get rid of their ADHD, and you can do that in 24 hours.
So coming back to, I guess, a little of that progesterone again.
Well, that's a big part of it. And the other thing is that you're familiar with fibromyalgia?
Yes.
Okay, it's a very common condition, very common. And, but it's a situation where half the doctors don't believe in it. They think it doesn't exist. And, but it takes usually 10 to 20 years for a doctor to diagnose it. And then they'll say there's nothing they can do for it. And, they have doctors in this country that specialize in fibromyalgia that don't even know where the pain comes from. So, again, if you don't know what's causing the pain, how can you get rid of it? So people with fibromyalgia, not only do they have pain, but they're tired all the time. And the reason for this is because they keep their muscle tense all the time. And when you keep muscle tense, you build up lactic acid, and that's where the pain is coming from. But their muscles are so tense that the circulation can't get through the muscles, and because the blood vessels are being constricted. So the acid just sits there causing pain. And because the muscles are tense all the time, they're tired all the time. And what's nice about fibromyalgia is that it's very easy, in most cases, to get rid of because there's only one cause for it, and that's internalization of anger. And so if you get rid of the anger, fibromyalgia is gone. And, when you're dealing with ADHD, which, again, a lot of adrenaline, a lot of anger, you can see that if there are that many people that have ADHD, and to me, I think half the adult population has it, you can see where there might be a lot of fibromyalgia. These are the people that will wake up with aches and pains, low back pain, pain along the side of the hips. They keep their teeth clenched at night. That's classic fibromyalgia. So if you want to get rid of fibromyalgia, you have to get rid of anger. And a lot of people, the adrenaline is a big part of their anger. So if you get rid of your adrenaline, fibromyalgia goes away. But but again, in the book, I go through a lot of things, and I go through my approach to fibromyalgia and what people have to look for. A lot of people with fibromyalgia don't even know they have an anger problem. I mean, they internalize the anger so well that they don't even know they're angry.
Wow. And I take it you've helped many fibromyalgia patients.
a lot. In fact, probably at least half, if not more, of my patients that come in are fibromyalgia. they don't, and a lot of them don't even realize it. But a lot of patients come in because they have fibromyalgia. And but in order to get rid of it, you have to look for all the areas in their life that create anger. And once they're gone, the fibromyalgia is gone. It's a very, you know, I've had people with severe fibromyalgia got rid of it in 3 days. Most people, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
But in order to get rid of it, they have to be willing to give up anger. And a lot of people, believe it or not, don't want to give up anger. You know, they want to be angry at their mothers or angry at their spouses or bosses. Or
now, what I'm wondering about is your approach. When the hormones are balanced, is it easier for people? Does that subside some of the anger automatically, or is it a combination of hormones and other things to handle anger issues?
The hormones help a lot, but there are other things involved. So, you know, I had a gal that came in. She had severe fibromyalgia, and the only thing in her life that made her angry was her little 5-month-old Papillon, a little puppy, and she brought it in with her because we have a dog-friendly office. And anyway, she gave her dog to one of the nurses on the way out the door. And she came back 2 days later, and she said, "I cannot tell you how much better I feel."
Ah.
The dog was urinating on her carpet, and that made her angry. And she wouldn't sleep with it because she was afraid it would do something in the bed, and she couldn't visit her daughter because her daughter had two big dogs. In other words, the dog was controlling her life.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to fibromyalgia, you know, it's not just a question of hormones. You have to look for things in your life that irritate you.
Okay.
And most people with fibromyalgia are perfectionists living in an imperfect world. And so you can see why they'd be angry a lot.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good way of to be angry. If someone wasn't angry enough, they could just go around criticizing things for a while, and would get them.
Yeah, I mean, almost invariably, if you ask them, you know, they have high expectations. So they're the kind of people that if somebody tells them they're going to do something, they actually expect them to do it. or somebody tells them they're going to be somewhere at a certain time, they expect them to be somewhere at a certain time because they expect other people to behave like they do. So it's just a matter of teaching them not to let other people affect how they feel. And
is that a part of your program?
Let me tell you something. It's an example of what I do. When I approach illnesses from the causation, because if you don't take away the cause of a problem, it's always going to be there. And unfortunately, the way our medical system is set up, they never approach it from the cause. They just give out Band-Aids. They give out drugs. And, you know, can we talk about diabetes?
Oh, sure.
You know, this is like a classic example of what not to do. You know, the thing about diabetes, 95% of the time, it's caused by an overproduction of insulin. And what insulin does, it's a fat-creating hormone. And not only does it take sugar and put it into the fat cells where the sugar converts into fat, but insulin sits outside the cells and blocks its release. It's a fat-storing hormone. So if you have an overproduction of insulin, you can see that your fat cells can get fatter and fatter. But what people don't understand is that they only have a limited number of fat cells, which can only contain a limited amount of fat. So as these fat cells are getting fatter, you know, right around the middle, it gets harder for the body to get the insulin to push the sugar into the cells. And so I call that insulin resistance. And so the body compensates for that by making even more insulin. So eventually what happens is the fat cells are so filled up with fat that the sugar can't get in there, and it builds up in the bloodstream, and doctors say you have diabetes. Well, doctors look at diabetes like it's a disease of too much sugar, but it's not. It's a disease of too much insulin. So the first thing they do, they put people on medication to stimulate the pancreas to make more insulin. And this is why all diabetic medications cause weight gain. And eventually, what will happen is that the fat cells are so filled up with fat, then the body can't possibly produce enough insulin, then they add insulin. So basically, they're always treating diabetics with the same hormone that created diabetes in the first place.
Mm.
So what I do with diabetics, and this is one of those things where don't try this at home, is that the first thing I do is I take them off their medication. And then I put them on a meal plan that will convert them to fat burning. You get the fat out of the fat cells. Now the sugar has room to go in there, and the diabetes is gone. I don't know if you saw it in today's news. Some lady in Orange County. She's 73 years old, and she was locked in a bank. She was in her safety deposit vault, and they forgot about her. So they left, and she was a diabetic. So when the cleaning crew came in about midnight, they found her cold and unresponsive. And when they brought her to the emergency room, her blood sugar was 20. Oh. Now, the thing is, this is a classic example of somebody who does not need medications to produce insulin. She's, in other words, she's already overproducing insulin, or she wouldn't have gotten so severely hypoglycemic.
Yeah.
But you can see how dangerous it is to give these poor people, because you never know when you're going to get locked in a bank vault.
Oh, wow. Now, and is there something typical that you're doing? You said that you changed the diet more fat, and I don't know if there's any hormone things that you do.
Well, you know, the thing about weight, and you know, there are a lot of people that are concerned about weight. What people fail to realize is that hormones control weight. And, you know, for example, you know, insulin is a hormone. And so when you have an excess of insulin, you're going to have fat around the middle. And then there are a lot of people that, you know, women, and some men also, by the way, that have too much estrogen. And that puts on fat around the hips, the thighs, and the buttocks. And then you have most adults actually have an underactive thyroid, even though it's not picked up by the doctors, because unfortunately, doctors really don't know about the thyroid either, and they don't even recognize there are two different thyroid hormones. But anyway, so people with an underactive thyroid, the thyroid controls metabolism in every cell of the body. So when you have an underactive thyroid and too much insulin and perhaps too much estrogen, you can see why you can have a weight problem. And in our culture, you know, most people are being over-medicated, and probably the majority of the most commonly used drugs cause weight gain. So, again, when it comes to weight loss, you have to treat the cause of it. And so you get the hormones in balance, you get them off medications, and you put them on a meal plan that converts their body to fat burning. And you do that basically by limiting, limiting the amount of carbohydrate so that the body will start burning fat instead of sugar.
Ah, okay. Well,
You know, it's very easy to practice medicine when you deal from the way the body operates, and you know, and it's very satisfying, very gratifying to get people well again, and you can only do this by treating the underlying cause of their illness, and that's what I try to do with this book is to tell people who have chronic illnesses, you know, that maybe they can, you know, just by getting the hormones back in balance and getting off certain medications, how much better they can be.
Yeah. Well, this is fabulous. Now, on your website, I'm sure some people are going to want to get your book, The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones by Dr. Michael E. Platt, P-L-A-T-T, or visit your website while it's expanding. There's still some substantive things on there at www.drplatt.com.
Or they can go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com, or any bookstore can order it for them.
And yeah. Let's say someone wants to come in and be treated by you. I guess they call your office there in Palm Desert.
They can certainly do that. I think we have an 800 number. I think it's 877 Dr. Platt.
Ah.
And or they can call directly, which is 760-836-3232.
Okay.
You know, about 90% of my patients come in from out of town. And I have people that come in from all over the world. And I'm not glorifying myself. It's just that it shouldn't have to be that people have to travel so far to get well. And unfortunately, in this country, it's tough to get well.
Well, do you think we could start a campaign of getting people to read your book and then take it to their doctors to invite their doctors to learn more about what you're doing?
Well, I mean, it's a good idea. It's the kind of book that if doctors read it, they would know how to practice medicine. And even most doctors could understand this book. I mean, I'm not against doctors. It's just that they have been so brainwashed by drug companies to thinking that, the only way to get somebody well is give them a drug. You know, look at all the people that are on statin drugs, which are part of my least favorite drugs. And statin drugs are This is like Lipitor and Zocor and Mevacor and all that kind of stuff. These are toxic drugs. That, you know, they take two things away from the body that you can't live without. And so this is why sudden death is one of the side effects of these drugs. And, you know, 75% of people that have heart attacks, they actually have with a low cholesterol, not a high cholesterol. And there have never been any good studies that have shown that lowering cholesterol prevents strokes or heart attacks.
Wow. Talk about an important piece of information.
And I talk about cholesterol in my book. I talk about, you know, osteoporosis, you know, these toxic drugs like Fosamax and Binova and Actinel, which are toxic drugs that prevent you from making new bone. So I go into all that. And I tell people how to get their bones working, you know, building up again without using drugs.
Wow. I mean, that alone would be important to get the book, and there's so much more. Now, I noticed Chapter 9 that talks about a hormone, DHEA, the key to well-being.
You know, at one time, DHEA is the most abundant hormone in a person's body. And it runs the whole immune system, it prevents cancer and heart disease and arthritis, and it's considered the ultimate anti-aging hormone. And again, as people get older, their DHEA level goes down. So this is one of the hormones that I very commonly replace. But I don't give people hormones unless the body requires it.
You determine from someone coming into your office and doing lab tests?
That's right. Now, some people, I don't need a lab test because I just, from talking to them, I'll know what their hormone situation is. But in other cases, you know, hormones are, you know, levels are helpful. You know, I look at CA125 tests in women, which is a test for cancer of the ovary. And in my office, it's a $35 test. And normally, this is about a $200 test, and it's not covered by insurance. And when you consider that one out of every 50 women get cancer of the ovary, and this is the kind of cancer that once it spreads, it's fatal. But if you get it early, it's 100% curable. So this is the kind of cancer that they should be looking at in terms of preventing, and yet nobody ever does this blood test. I've had women that had begged their doctors to have this test. I look at homocysteine levels, which are like the number one cause of heart attacks and strokes, and again, it's never looked at. You know, this is what makes blood vessels sticky. So I'm a great believer in preventive medicine and living in a world where there is no preventive medicine. So, you know, I'm a great believer in supplementing. You know, vitamin D is one of my favorite supplements. And I put people on 10,000 units of vitamin D. And vitamin D is known to prevent 26 different cancers, and it kills cancer cells better than chemotherapy does. And it's the best thing for preventing the flu, and it's certainly the best thing for the bones, and it prevents Alzheimer's, it's great for the heart. It just goes on and on. And yet doctors tell people to stay out of the sun, right?
So you're okay with people getting back out in the sun, I hope?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we were meant to be out in the sun. You know, for the first couple hundred thousand years, we're wearing a little loincloth. Without using sunscreen, we're out in the sun all day long. And so the body is intended to have a lot of vitamin D. If somebody was to sit out in the sun for 2 hours, their vitamin D level goes up to about 10,000 units. But the problem is that people get older, they can't convert sunlight into vitamin D like they used to. So all adults should be on vitamin D. And yet the recommended daily allowance is 200 units. Most people take 400, and here I use 10,000 units. So I take a very logical approach to practicing medicine.
Yeah.
And So, who knows?
Well, I would have to say in the answer to the who knows would be Dr. Michael E. Platt, M.D., who's spent now, 20-some years or more working
with... Well, I've been in practice for 35 years, but I've been involved with hormones for about 26 years.
26 years, okay. I am just honored that we've had the chance to visit with you briefly, and I'm excited to read your book. I know a friend of mine that grabbed onto the book, she couldn't put it down and was just relating to stuff, conditions for her and her daughter and a number of people. So to me, this is definitely something that I'll be doing, and I'd like to talk to your people to see about getting a link. If it's okay,
I'd be glad
to my website.
Delighted.
you know, to let people know about your, what you're doing.
Okay.
And then, of course, they can reach you. You'd made mention of calling the office 877-DRPLATT.
Uh-huh.
Or 760-836-3232. And then they can visit your website, which will be expanding who knows how soon, but there's quite a bit on there right now, at www.drplatt.com.
Okay.
So, well, this is important for people to know how to reach you. And then, of course, there's email. They can send questions at drplatt.com,
mm-hmm.
You know, to help get some answers. But certainly, first step, go on Amazon or the bookstore and get your copy of The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones. Dr. Platt, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Well, it's certainly been my pleasure.
And I know I'll be in touch with you, and because this is something that that I need to address, and now I've found someone that is actually taking a comprehensive approach to it, and I understand why people from all over the world are flying in to get help from you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful week. And to my beloved listeners, also, God bless you and Dr. Platt, all of us, that we have a wonderful week and find the things in our lives that help us get healthy and strong. Until we meet again next Saturday, God bless all of you, and thank you for tuning in. And goodbye for now.